Well, the future of Britain's prestigious Orange Prize for Women's Fiction is still in flux. After a 17-year partnership, the telecommunications company Orange has announced that it's ending its support for the prize. Since it began in 1996, the Orange Prize has boosted the status of female novelists worldwide. It's awarded annually to a female author of any nationality for the best original full-length novel in English. Past winners include Lionel Shriver, Marilyn Robinson, Zadie Smith, and this year debut novelist Madeline Miller won for her book A Song of Achilles. Here's Joanna Trollope making the announcement a few weeks ago.
On behalf of the founders of this prize and all judges past and present, I would like to announce that the winner of the final Orange Prize for Women's Fiction is The Song of Achilles by Madeline Miller.
Yes, isn't that a wonderful thing? And that was Joanna Trollope announcing the winner of the Orange Prize for 2012, the very last Orange Prize, as she said. Well, the co-founder and director of the prize is novelist Kate Moss, and she's hoping to keep the prize alive. She's looking for a new sponsor and, I guess, ultimately a new name. And Kate joins us now on the line from London. Kate, welcome.
Good morning.
Why are they pulling out of the prize, these Orange people?
Orange has been the most incredible sponsors for 17 years, but they've gone through a range of changes within the company, and they're now going to focus solely on film. So we knew this was coming. We've been talking to them for a long time. And although, as you said, they're severing their links, then they're actually part of the process to find a new sponsor. They're taking part in that and, in fact, paying for the whole process as well. So our relationship with Orange is staying very healthy. It's a very happy divorce, shall we say.
Yes, I suppose it would be a bit ungracious to make them sound as though they're leaving you in the lurch.
They've done very well for 17 years. They deserve great thanks for that.
That's right. Hooray for Orange. So the prize is worth a fair amount. It's worth £30,000. That's about 46,000 Australian dollars at the current exchange rate. So you're going to have to find another sponsor. You may not find one as generous as Orange has been.
Well, in fact, the prize money itself is paid for by an anonymous endowment. When I was setting up the prize nearly 20 years ago now, I was contacted by someone who said they would like to set up a trust fund anonymously to fund the prize money. So that we had before our relationship with Orange, and that continues unaffected by who the mainline sponsor is. So what we're doing now is talking to a range of companies, international companies, to see who might be the best new partner for us to go forward, because we want to grow the prize, particularly internationally. We want to develop the prize, and we want to start using some of the enormous goodwill and the quality, if you like, of the books celebrated and the huge numbers of readers who engage with the prize to really do some more innovative, exciting work. Publishing, writing, new technologies have changed everything since we set up the prize. The first was awarded in 1996. So we're now looking to, if you like, the second generation of the, we're still calling it the Orange Prize. Of course, it will probably have a new name pretty soon. But that's what we're looking to do, to grow the prize in the future.
Oh, I see. So the secret donor, known only to the world as Bessie, set you up with enough money to award a prize worth £30,000 a year,
yes.
but the sponsor
that's
covers
right.
all the other costs.
That's exactly right. So the sponsor covers everything from the cost of sending, you know, in a courier, all the books that are submitted to the five judges every year, to the fees paid to the judges, to the amount of money, you know, spent on doing point of sale and library campaigns and literacy campaigns and all of those other things. So it's a partnership. It's always been a partnership, if you like. And for us, although we are very sad not to be working with Orange anymore, we also had decided that we wanted to grow the prize in ways that Orange were not able to do, because each company, you know, good sponsorship works on the basis of the sponsor and the arts organisation having shared and common and agreed goals. So the time was right, if you like, for both of us to move on, which is, of course, why it's very exciting times, although a little bit nerve-wracking at the moment, obviously.
It's going to be a shame to change the name, though, isn't it? I mean, the Orange Prize is now associated with the award, perhaps to the chagrin of the company. People in Australia, for example, wouldn't know that Orange was a telecommunications company, I don't think. We just think of it as the name of the prize.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, you can imagine there's been a lot of quite jaunty headlines in the English press when we announced this about the Blackberry Prize and the Banana Republic Prize and the Apple, you know, every fruit you could care to mention has been thrown into the mix. But it's great. I mean, what has been truthfully really exciting has been the incredible level of interest about the mere fact that we are going to be going into a new partnership. We haven't obviously announced who it's going to be yet because we're in the middle of meetings with various potential partners. But it's very encouraging, both the amount of response we've had, but also the fact that this is seen as a major art story. Because reading is the one thing that more people throughout the entire world engage with in terms of the arts than anything else. We are all, with a book in our hand, set free. We can go anywhere we want in our imaginations, anywhere in the world, anytime. We can be anybody. And so the idea that books and reading and stories still matter, it's still a big story, has been really encouraging for all of us who are now working behind the scenes to be able to announce, we hope, by the end of the summer, the new partnership.
Mm. Well, we all get why you would have a prize for literature, but why a prize for women's literature or for literature written by women? I mean, what was the incentive to set this up back in 1996 when the first prize was awarded?
The incentive was, in a way, the facts, which were these, that although some 60% of novels written are by women, and the estimates vary, but possibly 70% of novels bought are bought by women. Nonetheless, this was simply not reflected in the books that were either shortlisted or won literary prizes. And it wasn't a moan. We weren't all sitting around going, it's not fair. But we were saying, and it was a group of women and men in publishing, in British publishing, got together after a Booker shortlist in 1991 that had no women on it at all. But more, there was no comment about the fact that there were no women on it. So what we felt was, what was going on? Was it just the nature of what prizes were like? Was it what subject matter was valued in literary prizes? We wanted to ask the question of whether it even mattered that there were no women appearing on shortlists, even though the vast majority of fiction was written and bought by women. And in the end, we decided it did, because we felt that readers, if you like, were just missing out on being told about some of the greatest writing around. And we did a lot of research, looked into seeing if this was true in the UK, whether it was a pattern that was replicated everywhere, and it was. So we just thought, what we're going to do is set up a prize to celebrate achievement, to celebrate women's achievements, which seems a brilliant thing to do. You know, I'm a great sports fan. Completely glued to the football, and every Saturday I sit there and celebrate men's achievements on the sporting field. It just seems that you should always celebrate the best anyway, and bring outstanding fiction, but not just British fiction, international women's voices to readers from all over the world. And as you say, the great cliche, the rest is history. Mm. The numbers of women that have come up through the Orange Prize, whose work has now gone out to millions of readers, men and women readers. The prize is focused outwards on readers, men and women, although it celebrates women's achievements, in a way speaks for itself. And so that was what we wanted to do. And I think we know it's very important that every year there will be a celebration of the best of women's creativity from out throughout the world, and it continues therefore to play a really important part in that. It's a sort of flagship program, if you like.
Kate, ultimately you'd have to hope that the prize would become redundant, that there would no longer be this perception or this reality that men were getting a disproportionate amount of attention or of prizes.
Yes, in a way, actually, in a way I agree with you on that. But the reality is, for example, the Independent Foreign Fiction Prize has still never been won by a woman. In the whole history of the Nobel, there's only been, I think, 9 or 10 women who've ever won it. The Costa Prize, which is a big British-based prize, has only had about a third women. And the Booker Prize, which obviously is often held up as our closest, sister prize or brother prize, in 46 years, there's still only been 14 women who've won it. So although in a way I agree with you, I feel sadly we've probably got a long way to go. And in areas such as literature, outside of literature, such as theatre, the arts, screenwriting, the proportion of women who are honoured for their creative achievements is very, very small. So the one thing that the Orange Prize continues to do, if you like, is every year it makes male and female readers focus on issues of gender and writing. And in areas where there isn't such an annual mechanism, if you like, these debates often don't happen. So I still think it's about the best, though. The prize would have no validity if it wasn't about exceptional, outstanding international fiction. And because it is, I think that's what has underpinned everything that we've done and made it such a popular prize throughout the world.
It's interesting, Kate, that there are women who are opposed to this. I mean, you would expect that there'd be men who would say, oh, this is sexist, because there are always going to be men who are so resentful of the women's movement that any attempt to create sort of positive discrimination in favour of women will be decried as sexist. But there have been some prominent women who've been against this. Germaine Greer isn't happy about the prize. Ace Byatt is a detractor of the prize. I shan't mourn it, she said. I'd never allowed my books to go forward because I didn't believe that you should have a prize that favoured one's sex.
Absolutely. I mean, that's two women. It's not really very many. I mean, it's very funny, over sort of 18 years, the same two women are quoted, and that is sort of it.
Yes.
But that's fine. That's completely fine. People have different attitudes. Where all prizes have restrictive eligibility criteria. They might be age, they might be genre, they might be race, they might be country of residence or birth, they might, as in our case, be gender. That's the nature of prizes. Everything has to be contained, if you like. And I respect people who have sensible objections to that, in the same way that I respect, you know, friends of mine who are black writers or Asian writers who don't like their books to be entered into prizes that focus on those achievements. I think individual writers absolutely should decide what they think is right for them and how they want to be perceived. But the bottom line of it is still that for many outstanding writers who are women, their works do not get the prominence or the review attention that they deserve. And the Orange Prize, even if somebody doesn't want their book entered, it raises the questions. It's important in these days, as it has always been, I suppose, to ask questions about how things are working. Are they promoting the best? Are they celebrating the best? And so for me, I feel with the Orange Prize, that's what we do every year. And I completely respect A.S. Byatt, and I adore Germaine Greer. And I, of course, they're very bright, clever women, and they have a different view to me. But that's fine.
Yes, I suppose it is. It'll just have to be fine, because they're not going to change their minds, Kate. Now, we must wind up. But I did begin by saying that the future of the prize was in doubt, and then you indicated that you're talking to all sorts of sponsors. Now, let's be candid about this. Should we be putting out a call for sponsors, or are you close to clinching a deal with a new supporter?
It's very lovely of you, but in fact, ever since we announced this, we have been contacted by about 20 companies. We have had meetings with many of those. Some of them, the investment is too much. We're now down to second and third meetings with about eight international companies. So although, you know, one must never count one's chickens, and the you know, the opera's not over till the fat lady sings, I'm trying to think of how many other cliches I can come out with. The truth is, the future nonetheless is still bright, even if it's not orange.
Well, all power to you, Kate. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Kate Moss, she's the honorary director of the soon-to-be-renamed Orange Prize.